From Tally to Cali,
it's time to wake up.
Wake up. WarChant.com is your ultimate Seminole sports source.
And this is Wake Up WarChant,
presented by Corner Pocket Bar and Grill.
One more Corner Pocket.
Now here's WarChant.com's Asan Hajivandi
and Corey Clark.
Wake up! What is up, everybody? It's Wake Up WarChant, presented by Corner Pocket Bar and Grill. Coming up on today's show, it's not just a knee-jerk reaction. Florida State clearly in the market for a wide receiver. We discuss why and who as Matt LeSere gives us the latest on the portal prospects for Florida State. Wake Up WarChant, presented by Corner Pocket Bar and Grill, Tallahassee, Florida, cptallybar.com, the website, 2475 Appalachie Parkway, physical address. Lunch specials, Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Today, five-piece chicken wings and french fries. Both of those for only $8.99 from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Corner Pocket Bar and Grill. Go check it out, everybody, and then come back tomorrow for bingo night. And then come back Friday, watch the Noles play baseball on the TVs. Always something to do over the Corner Pocket Bar and Grill. Whatever you want to do, you can do it there. Just, you know, obey the law and all that kind of stuff. WarChant.com, your ultimate Seminole sports source. Won't you hit the thumbs up, five-star rating and review, please. And I'm going to keep saying it until one of you tells me that it's not working, but the FSU1 promo code, 2 months, one American dollar of access to the ultimate Seminole sports source and all the sites on the On3 network. So you can jump in and ask Florida how their portal season's going. They don't participate. They don't observe the portal. Mm. Kind of like Dabo. It's kind of crazy. Or make fun of Miami for recklessly spending the money they have and not winning football games. You can do all this sort of stuff when you join WarChant.com and the On3 network. Joining us, as always, remote, well, not always from Atlanta, sometimes in Tallahassee, but I think he's up in the great white north of Atlanta. What's up, Corey?
What's up, Aslan? How are you doing?
I'm all right, man. It's going to be a tricky show, I think. Earlier in the day, or later on in the day when you're listening to this, we can pretend if that makes more sense. For the first time in my life, Corey, not proud of it, but for the first time in my life, I actually mowed a lawn. And it was my lawn.
Huh.
So, I mean, you know, growing up, we always had like a condo or a townhouse. So we had like homeowner association. So they always would handle that stuff. So I never had to do it. When I was in this house that I was living in beforehand, I rented, they covered it. And then for the last few years, I just had this guy in the neighborhood that would come around every now and then. And I'd give him some money. And I'm like, you know what, man, I got to do this myself. Got to grow up. Be a real man. Be a man's
rite
man.
Rite of passage. It's a rite of passage.
I can't breathe. Like I've inhaled so much pollen. My eyes are watering. My nose is running. Having difficulty breathing. So we'll see how this goes. But hey, man, I'm a real man though. I'm gonna die like a real man.
How's it look?
Not great.
Well, it's your first time.
Yeah, it looks so easy. Like, oh, just walk and then go to the next part. I guess I didn't put the setting low enough. Like, I'm gonna raise the ground like Sherman did on his March of the Sea. I'm just gonna go to the absolute bare minimum amount of grass because we don't have good grass in Tallahassee, man. It's not lush and thick, so it's like might as well go high and tight, just level this stuff. But enough about what's going on in my world. What's going on in your world, Corey?
You say that. I think Brady's never mowed a lawn, and he's going to be 16 here in 2 months. So it's got to change.
How old were you when you mowed your lawn for the first time?
Like 13, 12 okay. or 13. I remember I was in middle school. And I don't think that's a thing kids do a lot, just like none of my friends' kids. Most of them don't have jobs after high school. Like when they're done with their high school day, they don't have a job to go to. I think I got to change that. We don't want – I don't want Brady to be – whatever Aslan's age is and never mowed a lawn before. So I feel like I need to go ahead and, knock that out.
Or just have him mow my lawn.
That's actually not because I do have a lawn person that comes because I'm not here all the time. So yeah. I can't depend on Brady to mow my lawn. And the same thing with Tallahassee. But yeah, you're right. Next time I'm in Tallahassee with him, which might be for regionals or super regionals if they're hosting.
Right. I like that.
Maybe I'll have him swing by and mow your lawn. Can we do that? We agree to that?
Absolutely. We'll make
what
it
do
a
you
show.
Pay?
We'll mic them up and everything.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that's right. $10? Is that how much? 20?
Oh, for Brady, I'll give him like 35. Man.
Oh, there we go. Perfect.
Uncle Aslan will hook it up. When's the portal going to hook Florida State up, Corey? It hasn't really taketh a lot away. On Monday, Vandravis Jacobs announced his intention to enter the portal, or maybe he didn't, but On3 announced that he's in the portal or intends to do it. So
right.
That was one position that we anticipated. Feels like there's so much potential with him. We just didn't consistently see it come out day in and day out. He looked really, really good spring 2023. Got banged up at some point last season during the season and wasn't able to really capitalize on anything. Plus those 6'7" and 6'4" wide receivers that are going to hear their names called in the draft in the next few days kind of got in the way. But they'll be fine, but, you know, just kind of part of the nature of doing business. I'm just surprised as we sit here and record, it's only been one player. I guess David Stickles also another one, but he's, we don't think, a scholarship player.
And Greedy Vance, who was a couple weeks ago, right?
He went to Southern Cal, you know that?
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. Something. He'll be great out there. Be like a guy that knows how to backpedal. He'll automatically uplift that defense.
Well, yeah, think about it. They're in the Big Ten now. You know, Pac-12 might not have been great, but, you know, playing Purdue and Iowa State's not the Big Ten, the Big 12. You know, some of those teams don't throw the ball that great. They don't have a lot of great receivers.
You said Purdue, right?
I did. Okay, sorry. Sorry, Noiler.
That's our go-to. That's our de facto Big Ten school.
Illinois, Minnesota. Yeah.
Right.
Not great passing attacks.
True. So, yeah, he might be a superstar in that conference. And that sounds – I mean, I thought Greedy – was a nice player at Florida State, had some big moments, and played a lot of football for two very winning teams, teams that won 23 games in 2 years. So I don't want to diminish his role. I kind of wish he'd have stayed. I think he was going to play a lot. That's a hole they got to fill. I think Earl Little's probably your starting nickel, but, you know, you don't have Jarian Jones, and you don't have – who's going to split time with Little?
Kevin Knowles, I think, and you probably would rather have Greedy than – Kevin?
Yeah, I mean, maybe. Or I not. Mean, it's hard to judge with Knowles because he's moved around. He's been banged up. He was, you know, wasn't he wearing turquoise on Saturday? I think he was. Yeah, he absolutely was. He was wearing turquoise on Saturday, so he's been a little banged up this spring. You never know with him. Hopefully he can find his 2021 form. And then, honestly, Greedy is no loss at all if you get that Kevin Knowles. But we haven't seen him in a couple of years. But, yeah, so far as we record – we might have to re-record at some point later on, you know, on Tuesday, that they have not been hit real hard. They also haven't made any additions, but we think both of those are going to change in the next week. You know, we talked on headlines. Ira thinks it could be close to 10 people that leave in the next week, and I wouldn't be surprised. I definitely think Vandravius won't be the last receiver.
Yeah,
you're going to lose probably at least two more. Receivers. And, you know, I Portier and Williamson both got here in 2020. We are now in 2024. Neither one of them are guaranteed a starting spot. Portier, I think, is ahead of Williamson. He's done more in his college career. It'll be interesting to see what those two young men do. I really hope, I think there's a chance that both of them could be productive here, like real productive. But it just hasn't materialized yet. And, you know, a lot of it is health. You know, Williamson just hasn't been able to stay healthy. Portier, when he was really coming on and making a name for himself, and I think was legitimately going to be a pretty impressive third weapon last year, just got hurt and basically missed the whole season. So hopefully they can make the most of their final year, or they might say, you know what, they're in the portal looking for my replacement again. I'm going to go ahead and get in the portal too and go find a place that'll throw me some passes. So, but either way, I think that there's – Vandravius will not be the last wide receiver that enters the portal. But I do think Aslan, and we touched on it a little bit after the spring game, don't you think? I think right now the biggest necessity on the entire team from what we've seen, not just what we saw Saturday, what we saw the previous 5 weeks, is probably wide receiver.
Oh,
when
man.
When I'm looking in the portal, I want to go get a guy.
A certified,
bona fide starter.
Okay, yeah. Not a jag, not just another guy.
No.
Because you have a lot of potential currently, but you need someone proven, and I think, you know, we'll have Matt Lacerre on here to join us in a little bit. I saw Pete Nakos refer to the spring cycle 2 years ago when Southern Cal was able to get Jordan Addison. Last year, Florida State was able to get Keon Coleman. And then now there's that wide receiver out of Penn State, and Nakos is saying, like, this guy is – he's that for this cycle. He's the Jordan Addison, Keon Coleman, where he's going to not transform your room, but he's going to definitely bolster it. And to your point, like, that's the level. You need some guy that's caught 60 balls in a season for 700 yards and 5 touchdowns. You need one of those guys.
Is that what he did?
Something like that, yeah.
Lord knows he didn't catch a lot of balls that were like 30 yards downfield because they just didn't throw them. And that's another thing. When you look at a guy like that, there's stats. And I say this. I don't even know what his name is.
Keandre Lambert Smith.
Okay. Lambert. Oh, he's a hyphenated kid.
Yeah.
I like those. I don't know. I like them.
53 for 673 and 4 touchdowns last year.
And you listen to that and you're like, God, what was that, 11 yards a catch? 12 yards a catch? Not exactly a big play threat, but understand that offense and understand who was throwing him the ball. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what you have to take into account when you're looking at a Keon. Like, Keon didn't have overwhelming stats at Michigan State, but when you realize who was throwing to him and what, you know, just who he was playing with, then that accentuates how good they really are. And I think somebody at Penn State that had almost 700 yards receiving in that 1952 offense is really impressive. So, yeah, that would be a big get. That's the kind of guy I'm talking about. But, I think that is priority number one. I just think that's priority number one. I think you're okay at everywhere else. And you might even be okay at receiver, but nothing is proven, man. Hakeem did not prove anything this spring. He could be awesome. He didn't prove anything. The true freshman didn't. McCoy was on his way, but didn't. He was unavailable there, the spring game that Saturday. So you need another guy. We think you got one in Malik, and we think Malik's going to be okay health-wise. Yeah. So you got one there. Don't know anything about Destin. But other than that, other than Malik and Shakai, I would like another known commodity.
Well, I'll ask you, and maybe it's somewhat rhetorical, but I think in the instant aftermath of that spring showcase, a lot of the criticisms kind of came to the surface about, you know, the team doesn't look good enough at this position or that position. And then Monday and going into Tuesday, it was like the pushback from the fans of like, why are you basing so much of your opinions, everybody, on that showcase? Haven't you read everything on War Chant? Haven't you listened to everything on the Jeff Cameron Show and headlines talking about how much potential and how much talent they have on this roster? Like, don't let that one sort of moment affect the entire way that you're projecting this upcoming season. So like, why is the worm turn at wide receiver now? Is it, did Saturday culminate with the fact that we were holding out hope that like Hakeem would maybe catch four balls for 90 yards and a touchdown? Did we hope that Kentron would maybe flash a little bit more? Or why are we, do you think, at this position now to where we were like, yeah, they're going to lose a bunch of receivers, but none of us were really thinking, at least that were out there covering practice on a day-to-day basis, that would be a position they would target?
I think, look, man, by the third week, especially going into the third week, I thought for sure, like, this isn't, I don't think I was singing the praises of the wide receivers the last month. I certainly wasn't overly impressed with what I saw. So I was leaning that way anyway. Like, and that was kind of before Malik started to separate himself. Malik started separating himself where you're like, okay, you got a number one now. And Ja'Kai makes these crazy plays every – so you've got two guys you can depend on. I think Malik showed that he is a NFL-caliber player, and he's an all-ACC-caliber-ish player. So that's good to see. But literally, man, take Ja'Kai out of the equation. He's a fifth-year guy. You know what he's going to do. He's a Swiss Army knife. He's going to make plays for you. Who's their second-best receiver? Who is their second-best receiver this spring? Destin Hill,
I'll be honest with you, like,
available.
I know you saw him coming on. I did not see him coming on. I didn't see him floundering or anything either. But like, there wasn't a lot of moments where I was like, man, like, we're seeing it now. It's here. It's on the cusp. So I think even putting those kind of expectations on Destin would have been maybe a little bit unfair.
Honestly, I think the second best receiver to me personally, the one that maybe impressed me the most was LaWayne McCoy.
Yeah.
Who's a true freshman after Malik Benson. So I just expected to see more out of Andravius, out of Hakeem, out of Darian and Kentron.
Yeah.
Especially Kentron. And again, and Hakeem too. And I don't know if you never know. I hate doing this because we did this with Omar Graham last year. Like, he didn't look all that good. He didn't play very well. And then you find out, oh, he was banged up all season. He was playing through something. I don't know what their injury situation is. I know they're out there, but I don't know how banged up or not banged up they are. And that goes for Williamson and all these other guys too. But I was hoping to see more special. And I don't mean like, oh, this guy's a special player. Just give me a special play. every other practice. And you just didn't see a lot of that. Portier had a couple. Malik Benson had more than that. Nobody else, really, that was consistently like, okay, that guy's going to be a contributor. So I was leaning that way anyway. I was kind of even before, and I was. Like, the spring game didn't change my opinion when I went from, man, I think Benson, Portier, and Williamson's a great three-man set. I wasn't thinking that before Saturday.
Yeah.
Again, it just kind of hammered the point home. Portier drops that pass that's a huge gain. Williamson doesn't catch a ball that I feel like he should catch at this time in his career, going against a freshman in the end zone on a ball that's thrown pretty well. Go snare that and snag that and score a touchdown. That didn't happen. And you're like, yeah, man, this isn't – I don't know – what we saw this spring isn't good enough at that position to compete for a national championship. I think it's good enough to compete for a playoff spot.
Yes.
But it is not good enough to compete for a national championship. So either Hakeem, and this was me, Hakeem, I was thinking Vandravius at the time, but apparently that's not a thing anymore. Hakeem, McCoy, Fryer, Gibson, the other kid that's coming in the summer, these young wide receivers either step up, Portier and Williamson step up, or you got to go get somebody. And now I'm just more of the opinion than I ever have been that they need to go get somebody. But if they get to go get a if they go get an NFL guy, and I'm not talking about a first round pick or even a Keon, go get a dude. Go get I don't know what the Penn State guy is, but if you get somebody of that ilk, of that caliber, that's a ready made starter to go along with Benson, Douglas, and then all of a sudden you feel pretty good about it again. Like, okay, Portier's going to fight for time if he's still here. I think there's a chance that you could look at that wide receiver room as pretty good again. But right now, what I saw this spring and then culminating in the spring game, I wouldn't say that receiver room this spring performed any more than average.
Yeah.
They also go up against a good secondary that it should be pointed out.
Yeah. That guy on his way is Elijah Moore, 6'4", 195 receiver out of Maryland. So, okay. Stranger things have happened than a freshman showing up in July and figuring things out. Jaylen Brown never really kind of emerged from the malaise of whatever, of mediocrity that we saw out there.
He wasn't awful. He just didn't wow you, right?
Yeah, well, that's
the speed. Yeah. The speed was okay, but there were no real wow plays, right?
Listen, I'm not that bothered. Like, maybe I'm part of the problem. Like, I resigned myself to a possible step back this year.
Sure. Yeah.
But I still felt playoffs was a very viable option, so I wasn't that bothered by what I saw at practice and what I saw on Saturday. But I guess if you want to get to the point where that's not the standard, the standard is an actual national championship because being in the top 12, whoop-de-doo. I just felt like just get to the playoff and who knows what's going to happen. War of attrition, guys get hurt, and maybe you're healthier than anybody else, and we'll see what happens. But yeah, if you want to think like in urgent terms about like if you're one of the four best teams in the country, man, when it comes to football in 2024, you need to have a really potent offense that can make big plays. And if you got a quarterback that's going to rely on throwing the ball down the field, man, guys need to be reliable targets to get open and catch the ball. And that's part of the problem, right? It wasn't like if we saw Kentron have a really solid spring practice and then he drops a ball to showcase, we'd be like, yeah, whatever, right, man. Like he was catching everything the 13 previous practices, but we saw drops Tuesdays and Thursdays at practice, and then on Saturday in front of the 18,000 people and whoever was watching on TV, it happened again. So at that point, it almost would be silly just to be like, yeah, we'll be fine, right?
Yeah, so. Yeah, and like Fitzgerald missed a kick, right? But we saw him all spring. It's like, yeah, man, and he made two or three in the game too, man, more than that. But he had a really bad kick, like a 41-yarder that was almost short. He just mishit it. But we've seen him hit enough this spring, and obviously we saw all of last year. He's got, he's proven what he can do. Portier, even though he's about to go into his fifth year, has not. Neither is Williamson. And you hope that this is it now. If they're still here in August, this is it. You just hoped you'd see more from that group. When it comes to Jaylen Brown and Hakeem in particular, you have to remember, like this, and I had to remind myself of this, like this is Jaylen Brown's a redshirt freshman. Hakeem Williams is a second-year sophomore. Like they're not Portier and Williamson. They should this isn't who they are. They are going to get better. And Hakeem, the leap he made from last April to September, if he can make a similar leap, well, he's going to be a good player. So he just didn't wow you in the spring at all. But that doesn't mean he can't come back and be a really good sophomore wide receiver. It's just, you know, it's a natural order of things. That's the natural growth. I was just hoping it was like expedited a little bit, and it didn't seem to be. It was Malik, Ja'Kai, and then everyone else.
There's, I don't know, coffee, soda pop, and everything else. Then there's vitamin energy.
Okay.
260 milligrams of all natural caffeine, nutrients, extracts from flowers, fruits, with beneficial properties to help boost your mood, get your focus in line, get your immune system running on all cylinders, help burn calories, a little extra help in that department. We could all use some of that, right? Even me, the skinny guy on the show. Go to vitaminenergy.com. Well, you're in trim and fit, Corey. I shouldn't say that.
Thank you. Thank you. I'd rather be called, I don't like being called skinny.
No one does.
So I appreciate that.
Yeah, no one does. You're athletic.
Right.
VitaminEnergy.com, promo code WarChampBogo, WarChamp B-O-G-O. How it works is you get an item and you add it to your cart. And then you're like, you know what? I want to try another one too, but I don't want to spend money. So you just add the other item that you want into your cart as well. And then you put in WarChamp B-O-G-O in the little place where it says promo or coupon. And then voila, it's free. You didn't even pay for that second one. So get 24 shots for the price of 12, or 24 for the 48 for the price of 24. Wow, that sounds incredible.
Yeah,
right there.
Yeah, it does sound great.
Yeah, the bigger the number gets, it exponentially gets better. So give it a shot. It is clinically proven, clinically tested. Give it a shot. VitaminEnergy.com, promo code WarChamp, B-O-G-O. Let's talk portal. Matt LeSayre breaking it all down right after this.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Well, let's be honest, everybody. You're here for the portal news. I get it. That's why I log on to warchant.com most of the time these days. I want to get the inside scoop. I go to my guy, Matt LeSayre, joining us here, staff writer for warchant.com. Budding portal master. I don't want to put too much hype on your name, Matt, but you've been doing a great job, man. We appreciate you joining us. How are you?
Thank you. Thank you. Good, man. I feel like, have you ever seen that like gif of the cat that keeps banging on the keyboard?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I've been feeling like that the past 2 days.
But this is what you're here for. You love this sort of stuff, which I mean, I can't imagine if I was your age and the portal was around when I was a student, man, I'd be, well, not that you're a student anymore, but you know, when I had the passion in me that's been beaten out of me over the years. But anyhow, let's talk about all the good stuff going on in Florida State right now. They had to take a week off, as most people might know, because of the whole infractions case from late last year for improperly recruiting a player. So they had to kind of sit out a week of electronic communication. They chose to do that last week, right, Matt? This week they're involved, and it's not just knee-jerk fans. It sounds like Florida State wants receivers. Is that maybe one of the positions that seems to be emerging as a top need for the Seminoles so far?
Yeah, I think after the spring game, because, I mean, to be honest, going into the spring, I didn't think wide receiver would be such a big position of need. But after the spring game or the spring showcase, it kind of shot way up, in my opinion. And it's very clear by how and who they're going after the hardest, what two positions have kind of stood out. Wide receiver, again, obviously being one of them because no one's really stood out much in camp so far. And the top one, obviously, is Keandre Lambert-Smith, right? Like, he's the one everyone wants right now out of the portal. He's the one that he's being compared to the Keon Coleman and the Jordan Addison of the last two springs of the big wide receiver to hop in. And Florida State has seemed to caught up in this one. He's already visited Auburn and Texas A&M, but the article from Pete Nakos came out yesterday saying it kind of seemed like USC and Florida State were fighting for that next visit. He has 53 receptions last year and 673 yards, four touchdowns. This is someone we think could visit soon. Like we said, they're fighting USC right now for that next visit. But there's Florida State has shown what they can do with portal wide receivers, especially last year.
He's impressive. It feels like is he the top guy on the board for Florida State? And if he's number one, who do you think is number two?
Yeah, he's 100% the top guy on the board. I think he is for the whole country that's looking for a wide receiver right now. Number two, I would say, is Elijah Badger out of Arizona State, who's honestly, I started watching some of his highlights today, and I really like this guy, and I really think he fits well into the Florida State scheme because they even used him, Arizona State used him in the run game last year, and he had 11 carries for 51 yards. And, you know, that's something Mike Norvell likes to do, right? Whether it's a jet sweep or anything where you can kind of use guys other than just running out and throwing the ball. Also, what really impresses me about him is his ability just to go up and grab the ball, right? That's something we've been missing this spring. I know, I think Ira said that a few times where, like, Keon Coleman, when he was playing, would just, when the ball was in the air, that was his. And he was going to get it. Doing, with our new intern, Greg, we did some research on drop rates of receivers in the portal right now, and Elijah Badger had the most targets out of the top 30 guys available with 99 and only two drops. So if you're looking for the complete opposite of the problem you've been having this spring, he's definitely the one that you should go after. Other than that, his highlights are he's honestly really, really fun to watch.
When it comes to Lambert Smith, just to kind of circle back on him obviously being maybe the number one guy out there for everybody, with the way the window works, is this a guy that, you know, because it is a transfer, you get him on campus as soon as you can for a visit, you hope that he'll turn around and make a commit pretty soon, or is he a guy that we think is going to kind of play it out and take as many visits as he possibly can?
Yeah, I'm not – with the portal, I try not to, like, kind of get into that because, I mean, at this point, if he's not committed, he's still definitely weighing his options. A lot of the times in the portal, it's – in my opinion, at least that last visit matters a lot, right? Because you'll see, I mean, think about Nick Scorton last portal window from Purdue who went to A&M.
Oh, yeah.
Florida State was trending heavily there, and he went on the A&M visit. It was supposed to come to Florida State the next day and then canceled it. So I think if you keep taking visits in the portal, it's a big sign that you're kind of just not, like, you haven't seen the program that you want yet, right? Yeah. Like, so if you go to Florida State or you go to USC or something, you're like, okay, that's it. And maybe you cut off visits, I would think that's a big or a good sign for whoever got that last visit. That's just kind of a trend I've seen. It's happened a lot of where people just don't come. Happened with Penny Boone last window, too, from Louisville, where he was supposed to visit Florida State and then canceled and committed to Louisville. Obviously, he's back in the portal, but that's still another example of that.
Yeah, I feel like it. You know, Lane Kiffin jokes about, or maybe doesn't joke about, how this is free agency. And, like, when it comes to NFL free agency, it's, you know, you get that guy to your facility and, like, you don't let him leave until he signs, like, if you really want him. So it feels like when it comes to these guys in the portal, like, once they show up, it's, you know, you put the full court press on. If they want to be there, they're going to go ahead and commit and shut everything down. So it is crucial to get those visits as soon as you can, so you can cut in line and hopefully seal things up. So those are two guys at a position that seemingly, you know, there's traction there, that this isn't like the fans wanting it, this is mutual interest between these receivers and Florida State. Is there, like, a second tier of guys behind Elijah and Keandre?
Yeah, so there's Jay Fair from Auburn, who doesn't have a whole lot of production. Last year, he only had 31 receptions for 329 yards. In my opinion, there you also have to look at the quarterback, right? It was Peyton Thorne, and Keon also played under Peyton Thorne in Michigan State, and then you saw how much better he was under a better quarterback when he came here. So I think that's something to look at there. And then Justice Ross Simmons from Colorado State, who actually had a good amount of production with 45 receptions for 724 yards and three touchdowns. He's someone I know Florida's reached out to. At least that's what, or per Gators Online, Florida's reached out to him. Those are two guys to watch afterwards. I think Jay Fair is more to watch than Justice Ross Simmons. I still need to see a little bit more from Justice Ross Simmons to say that he's that backup target. But I definitely think Jay Fair is there. If you miss on Keandre Lambert Smith or Elijah Badger, that's something I forgot to say, is I do think they'll take two receivers in this portal window and not just one. It's just the way the position has kind of trended so far and what we've kind of seen.
This is great. The first part of the podcast, we're trying to defend ourselves from the fire that we're catching from some fans of like overreacting and like, you know what? They don't need a receiver. You're overreacting to the spring game. And it's like, well, you know, they're talking to guys in the portal and more than just one. So that, you know, follow the tea leaves on that.
Yeah.
All right. So offensively, receiver by far is the biggest position of need for Florida State. Again, Jacob Rizzi, offensive lineman from Harvard, all Ivy guys coming in for the summer. So that helps any sort of hole you might have on the offensive line. Defensively, seems like that front four is going to be quite special, but they could probably use some help. I know that's somebody that Corey wants to see Florida State make some movement on, is a defensive lineman. Is that lining up to be another position of need for Florida State this cycle?
Yeah, wide receiver and defensive tackle or interior defensive line have been the two positions that we've kind of seen Florida State go after the most so far. Today, they took a really big guy entered in that, and Derek Harmon from Michigan State, who is, he's just a dog. I was watching some of his highlights right before this, especially against Ohio State the last few years. He's really fun to watch. Quick hands, gets off block easily, had 40 total tackles last year, six and a half tackles for loss, 3.5 sacks. And a good thing to watch here is he actually got an offer from Memphis back in 2019 when guess who was the head coach at Memphis at that point in 2019? The one and only Mike Norvell. So obviously there's already that connection there, and we are hearing that Florida State has already reached out, and this is one that just entered the portal a few hours ago at this point.
All right. That's encouraging. 6'5", 320, so He's a big body. C.J. West is a name that we've seen out there. Is that a legitimate possibility? Do you know if there's any interest either with West or Florida State in his services?
Yeah, this is one that we also feel there's mutual interest with. We actually think this is one of the people who could take a could possibly take a visit soon and could be one of those first guys to kind of get on campus and for the window, the portal spring window. Sorry. He had 40 total tackles, 7 TFLs, 2 sacks. I can't really find much film on him because he's a MAC guy. But obviously we got our last good defensive lineman, interior guy from the MAC. So maybe the trend keeps going.
Anybody else besides those two guys? Or does it seem to kind of be maybe a two-guy race? And what's the number, do you think, at tackle? Is it one take, two take for Adam Fuller and company?
I would think it's more of a one take because, I mean, you still do have guys, you have depth there. Your problem is just they're young. You just want another guy you can rotate in. I mean, like we saw this spring, that Farmer was out for the spring, so we kind of got to see him deal with that. And I feel like that's what kind of made them know they want that extra defensive lineman just to kind of rotate in, have that backup, have that security. The next one I would say, another one who entered today was Jared Harrison-Hunte from Miami. Not as much production as the other two, so which makes me think he's third on that list. There's also another defensive lineman from Michigan State who's told me Florida State has reached out to him and Barrows Jr., and he also told me before Florida State could contact guys that he would have interest in Florida State. But again, I think with C.J. West and Derek Harmon there, they're definitely your top two guys and definitely the guys you're going to go after the hardest. I honestly think Harmon and Keandre Lambert-Smith are your two most coveted guys up there right now, and the rest will kind of fall under after that.
Yeah, and it feels like you get those two guys. Again, like Corey and I are talking about this, it feels like where you're at right now for Florida State, you're going to be competing for a spot in the playoff. Feels like if you get the best receiver on the market and probably one of the best interior defensive linemen, that puts you more in line to compete for a national title, which is what we all want to see here. Last thing before we let you go, Matt, can't let you leave without talking about Jason Zandamella. Everybody wants to know what's going on. Jason Zandamella, You can give us a quick synopsis on his story, obviously, with Lucas Simmons, Florida State maybe involved previously. How much of Florida State having to be on radio silence last week factors into this, or how much of a need do you think Zandamella is for the staff currently?
Yeah, I mean, the issue there is to me that he might not be in need right now, but he's also, we know he was like the favorite lineman in the 2024 recruiting cycle for Florida State. So it's kind of hard to judge there, but we still do feel he'll take a visit, and we do still feel FSU is a major factor in here. I know people were freaking out over on the PRB because all they had listed for visits were UCF and UF. We still do feel he'll take a visit to FSU. That relationship is just too strong. They pushed after him too hard. Because, I mean, back in not even that long ago, maybe 6 months ago, this was a USC-FSU battle.
Yeah.
And it was all FSU. I mean, I don't know if you remember us putting him on commit watch for, I think it was months at one point.
Yeah,
he was on,
man.
FSU commit watch. Yeah. Like, and then he took a visit to USC, and it was all done. So, again, it's hard to believe that FSU wouldn't be a factor just because of how close they were the first time around, and so recently.
There we go. All right, well, the cool thing is that we got Matt here helping us out, but it's a fluid situation, everything in the portal. So follow Matt on the Twitter machine, go to the PRB, because that's where everybody gets the news first. He'll be keeping his ear to the ground, keeping us posted on everything in the portal. It's going to be fun and exciting. Let's get ready to rumble, as the GIF said the other day. Thanks, Matt. Appreciate you, man.
Thank you, man.
Back at it. How about some after the fact podcasting? So after Corey, Matt and I all talked, watched some baseball, figured we'd add it to the show. Good win for Florida State on Tuesday night over North Florida, 10-2. John Abraham credited for the win, but Matt Saucer got the start. Everybody pitched. Well, not everybody, only five guys they needed, but everybody did a pretty good job. Good to see Hudson Rowan. That's kind of like two decent-ish appearances out of him, and they certainly believe in him. But the offense led the day, obviously, in the 10-2 victory. Cool stuff all the way around. Apparently Cam Smith, like 50th game in a row, 50th consecutive game he's reached base. It's incredible. James Tibbs driving in runs in every way imaginable. Bases loaded walk, that counts. Base knock, solo home run. Three RBIs, 2 of 3 on the night for Tibbs. Marco Dinges was 2 for 4, including a grand slam. Apparently that is the third grand slam of the season, which is a program record for grand slams in a season by a single player. Not sure if he's tied somebody. The telecast just said that he has the record, so maybe he's tied somebody. I don't have it up in front of me right now, so I apologize. Feel free to vent in the comments. Maybe we'll add it to show tomorrow. But lots of folks, again, getting involved in the mix. Saucer, Abraham, Rowan, Tejada, and Dennison came on and closed the door. Tejada did give up a solo home run. So did Saucer. Florida State did fall into an early hole, if you will, in the second inning, but then bounced back in the third to hang a 5 spot. Not a great North Florida team by any stretch. Actually, fairly poor. They've had 83 errors coming into the game, but no errors on Tuesday night. But hey, this is what you're supposed to do to teams that you can overwhelm with your prowess at the plate, as well as your pitching staff. So good things all the way around. Again, 10-2 win over North Florida. Now another big test looms for Florida State this weekend on the road against Duke. I think Duke's 7th in the country right now, man. Blue Devils ain't messing around. This whole conference isn't messing around. The ACC baseball diamond greatness is what we do. So, and oh yeah, Jaime Ferrer, for the first time in like 150-something games, did not get the start for Florida State, did not play. He's banged up, according to a pregame interview with Coach Jarrett and Lulu, Eric Lou Allen, voice of the Noles on the diamond. He's just been wearing a bunch of pitches and just playing hard, and he took one off the hand, I think, on Friday? Yeah, because we're doing the meet and greet at Corner Pocket, and Corey became quite concerned when he saw Jaime take one off the hand, but he kept playing the rest of the weekend. Also, the huge home run on Saturday in game one to help solidify the win for Florida State. So fingers crossed that it's nothing major and he'll be good to go on Friday when they head up to Durham to take on Duke. I'm sure we'll get Link later on this week. Maybe we even got him in the post game. I just haven't listened to it yet before we did this part for the program, but obviously Cam Leiter, Ben Barrett, we'll see their status. Connor Whitaker, Probably about time to maybe get some updates on those guys if we do get coach later on this week. Again, we might have gotten in the post game. Check it out on our YouTube page. That's a wrap on baseball. Back to Corey and I kind of kicking the can about this whole conference realignment stuff. Corey, were you able to distill any of Ira's highfalutin talk when it comes to legalese in the ongoing battle between Florida State and the ACC? I know apparently Florida State's attorneys were told to resubmit the amend the complaint to spell out jurisdiction reasons why this case should be held in Florida. So that is also going to have like a 20-day window. The ACC wants to respond after it's drafted. They have 7 days, Florida State's attorneys, to amend that complaint, going back to how whenever day it was. It was on Monday this whole thing started. So it's probably going to take another month for this part of this case, if you will, to progress. Meanwhile, the one up in Charlotte will continue to go. And now the AG, the Attorney General for Florida, is compelling her compatriots in other states that have programs that are in the ACC that, hey, the sovereign immunity thing, the ACC is coming for it. We need to be prepared. Everybody heads up. So just this very important thing that's going on, everybody, which I realize this is probably the biggest story when it comes to Florida State athletics, is figuring out a way to get out of this ACC and getting into a new conference. But man, there's like no end in sight. So I really can't get too emotionally invested in the highs and the lows and all the, you know, minutia of it all. Where are you at with this, Corey?
Sure. Read Ira's stuff, gang. Subscribe to War Chant. Read his stuff. Watch headlines. He breaks it down. Watch the JCS. He broke it down a little bit on Monday.
Smash.
Apparently while some weird stalker was in the car right behind him.
Ooh.
So, yeah, do all that, because this ain't the show for that. We will all pop champagne and celebrate when there's an agreement and they're out of the ACC. Or should we wait until they're in a conference? I don't want to, you know what I mean?
Right.
I don't want to pop champagne and then they're playing Ball State and Miami of Ohio every week. So let's wait. That's all we want. But until then, I don't know. I don't understand it. It sounded like the judge was acting like it wasn't that big a deal.
Yeah, it's not.
It wasn't really even a win. He just wanted to resubmit it so that it couldn't be appealed. The language was such that maybe it could be appealed later in legal proceedings, and he wants it where it's, you know, almost that can't happen. So they have to change the wording a little. But who knows, man? Who knows?
It strikes me of this new age thing where, like, these kids in college these days, Corey, you'll find out soon enough with Brady.
Let's hope.
Fingers, toes crossed.
Yeah.
They'll submit their paper, like their term paper, and the professor will grade it and give it back to the student, and the student has the opportunity to fix their errors and then resubmit it to get it regraded. Which this happens all the time now, like at high level institutions. And I'm like, there's a window there when I, you know, kind of dipped my toe in talking to some undergrads and then realized that wasn't a good idea. But that's crazy. I'm like, so you wrote your ENC 1102 paper and it was a 79, but you're going to spend Thursday rewriting it so that you can get up to like a 90 so that you can get an A in the class. Yeah.
Hey, what? You know what it is, Aslan? It's the participation trophy culture.
It is, I guess. And it's keeping these kids qualified, man, so they keep cutting all these checks and tuition to feed the educational industrial complex that we've now fallen into. But that's
another
podcast.
Well, it's in
high
school, too, I can tell you that, because Brady, I'll see some test scores that Brady gets, and I'm like, I feel like you should be in juvenile detention, like not just regular detention. Like nobody gets an 11 on a test or whatever it is. But he always gets the opportunity to retake it.
Crazy. And
I don't feel like we got the opportunity to retake tests in high school. If I got a 45 on something, I got a 45 on something, and I had to rebound somehow. I had to go get 100 just to get near a D. So yeah, that's kind of where we are now. And by the way, participation trophies have been around at least since 1981.
Yeah, I've got a couple.
Because that was my first one.
Yeah, I got a couple.
So they have been around for well over 40 years.
But the one trophy I have behind me in the office here is not a participation trophy. That was one in the vaunted, what is it, the 100-pound class in the East Lake High School takedown tournament in 1997. I earned that bad boy.
Oh, there you go, man. Nice. I didn't know that was behind you. Cool.
I need to accentuate
that more.
I know. I need to have the bracket hung behind me like one of those big checks from Happy Gilmore.
I need to go get my JV baseball hitting award
from
Meadow Creek High School and put that behind me.
All right. We'll make that into a war chant short. We'll go back to that school and be like, hey, I'm Corey Clark. And...
right. Yeah, where's my name?
Yeah. All right. That's about a wrap for us now. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We're going to do another show tomorrow, rain or shine, because it's time for you folks out there and all of us to generate some discussion. Renegade Express mailbag pinned atop the tribal council. Go in there, post your question. Best one, I think, is the final one of the month. Yeah, I think it's going to be the final one of the month to get into the monthly drawing to win some free coming swag, as well as a grand prize drawing for that portable generator or power station of your choice. I think we don't know if we're going to do it for bowl season, Corey, or do it like in a year from now, like in beginning of April. So we'll see how it goes. But I'm like, we should do it like during bowl season. I think it'd be kind of cool because like we'll talk about like the bowl gift and then like, oh, here's our bowl gift to you, fellow dear listener. But
it's a great idea.
See how that all goes. Jeff Cameron Show, 1 to 3 o'clock, everything portal, everything, anything, and everything Florida State, always over at warchant.com, the ultimate Seminole sports source. Go check it out. Subscribe. Thumbs up on the way out. He's Corey. And for Matt Lasser, I'm Azon, saying thank you for listening to Wake Up Warchant, presented by the Corner Pocket Bar and Grill.